Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio. Last time we kind of ended really fast, but I'll tell you what a lesson we had and what a lesson you have in store for you. Thanks for tuning in. We're in Matthew 18, 10 through 20, and last time Tara ended with the boundaries. Janelle had read Psalm 16, 6a and then 4, And it just shows, you know, we need to be in the boundaries of the Lord, because if we're not, it's a sad and sorrowful thing.
It really is. And in this passage of the lost sheep, it's about the forgiveness that we give, but it's also about the pursuit of going and getting the lost sheep. And it's also about showing the Father's love for us. And it's just a beautiful example of how God, he sets these boundary lines. And so the disciples were asking, who's the greatest in the kingdom in Matthew at the beginning of 18? And he's showing them some boundary lines that they need to live by. Mm-hmm. And that when we recognize that somebody has crossed the boundary line, Psalm 16a that Janelle read says that his boundary lines are pleasant places. That's a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. And so what God, when he creates the boundaries for us that he has provided in any capacity on how to live our lives, the principles of godly living, it brings pleasantness mm-hmm. in the presence of not just the person in their heart, but in the presence of those that are around us. And it's really fun because I recently was talking with a sweet friend of mine that I've been discipling. And she said, you know, it's really amazing because I no longer have to look over my shoulder. Mm. I'm not looking backwards anymore. And she said, it has just given me such happiness inside me because when I do live within what God has asked me to live, it's better. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of like in surprise. Mm-hmm. And that is just a delightful thing. And that is the reason why, you know, I think in the psalm it says that when you have found that lost one, that you're happy. There's something powerful about that. And there's something beautiful about somebody being restored. Mm-hmm. And this whole section is about restoration. The goal is restoration. This is a brother or sister in Christ. It is not for the purpose of saying, look, you sinned. Right. However, it does include that. Mm-hmm. It is not about condemning them because they've messed up. It is about showing them so that we can bring them back into the kingdom of God. And so let's look at, we're going to examine the process, and then what we'll do is we'll actually look at some things that when we're having to talk to somebody about their fault, what we need to have inside us as we do that, because it's a tough place when you're the one that has to go in. And oftentimes I think we don't want to. And one of the number one things that we will say is, you know what, who am I? I'm a sinner. And man, I have no right to go tell so-and-so. If you were just to take a snapshot of just a portion of one day of my life, you would say, don't you dare ever go and tell so-and-so. And we have this mindset, I have to be holy in order to go and lead someone to holiness. Well, I'm just going to say that's a lie from the pit of hell, because none of us are fully holy. We are all sinners falling short of the glory of God. We're all in process. It's just we have to go in the spirit of humility and love when we go. Mm-hmm. So let's examine where he starts off saying, okay, if your brother sins against you, I want you to go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. Mm-hmm. But if he will not listen, I want you to take one or two others along so that every matter may be established with the testimony of two or three witnesses. Mm-hmm. If he refuses to listen then go to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, then treat him as a pagan or a tax collector. Mm. All right, so let's look at this process, and I want us to break it down. The first thing I want to tell you is that the word go, it's in the Greek, and it's a present tense, and it's an imperative mood. Mm. And that means that it's a gentle series of consecutive movements toward, okay? It's something that's an ongoing process. So that's what he means when he says go. It's not something that's, you know, a one-time thing. It's something we should always be in the process of doing.
You know, and I love it because there's a lot of chances here. Mm. You know, you go to him the first time, just the two of you, And then you bring somebody else, and then the church, and I don't know, God is such a God of chances.
That's good. Okay, so let's look at this, and let's just break it down. I've listed out 9 things, with 2 of them being on the same, but they could actually fall into 2 different categories, but you guys may break it out different. That's okay. Let's lay out the exact steps that we should take. Okay, step 1. What do you think our first step would be? When we are in the process of going and getting a brother or a sister.
Examine yourself.
That's what I was going to say. We need to look at ourselves first.
Works. That's good. First, heart examination. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what?
I think prayer should be involved in that too. Making sure that, you know, you're asking for wisdom in the way that you present it.
Good. And he tells us that following it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. Then what? What do you think he would want us to do? I'm gonna throw this one in because I don't know that anybody would say it the way I would say it. I think once I've examined my heart, once I've prayed, once I've sought the Father, it has to be that I have recognized that there is a sin to begin with. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, the recognition that something's not what it should be. Okay,
and also we've got to go to them when they're in the sin. We can't wait. You know, it's got to be happening. It can't be like past.
Right. Yeah. The observation of the sin taking place.
Right.
And then once we've observed the sin, we've acknowledged it, we recognize that it's legitimate, then what do we do?
Bring that person privately.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we have to do that privately?
It could be embarrassing in front of other people. Mm-hmm. Humiliation. Yeah. Have to be very careful with their heart.
That's so good.
Well, and I think we do it privately because, like you said, it's embarrassing. When people are called out publicly, they tend to defend, mm-hmm. and they get, you know, offended, and all types of excuses come up. And, you know, rather if you go to one-on-one gently, you know, they may be a lot softer to just come to accept, not the acceptance of their sin, but recognizing that they are in sin.
Well, I think one-on-one is more personal, too. Mm-hmm. You know, you make it a personal friendship, a personal love, talking to them.
It seems more respectful to
me. It is.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I remember the first time, I think Tanya or Sandy, you probably have heard this story, but the first time I witnessed somebody actually, this wasn't her telling me I sinned, this was her actually coming and confessing to me that she had sinned against me. It was the most humbling experience of my life. I think I was maybe 23, and we were at a church conference, and I was the youngest by 15 years on church staff, and I was just the brunt of their jokes. I was, I don't know, ditzy enough. I didn't get it that there was kind of anger involved in it. I just thought it was they were teasing the young puppy on staff. And but one night at the conference, she came in and asked to speak to me privately. I'm like, okay. And she said, I just needed to ask your forgiveness. And she goes, I have sinned against you. My jest has been in anger, mm-hmm. not out of love. And I just wanted to ask you to forgive me. And I was blown away mm-hmm. that somebody would take the time. And it was such a role model for me mm-hmm. of the value of private mm-hmm. one-on-one conversation to deal with sin. Mm-hmm. Now, at that moment, it was her dealing with hers. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it was a life-transforming moment for me. Not because she confessed to me. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. It really had no impact on me. But for me, it was a teachable moment mm-hmm. in other aspects mm-hmm. of the importance of the value of the one-on-one.
I think, too, that it adds to the gravity of the conversation. Like, it makes it more serious when you go to them one-on-one, look them in the eye, get them to be like, I need to talk to you. And it makes them understand that this is a real issue. This isn't something that you're just tossing around in conversation with people. This is something that they need to deal with. And it gives them the opportunity then to reflect on it on their own without being pressured by the other people mm-hmm. around them.
That's good. I like that. I like that it removes the pressure of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Helps us to reason better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It promotes honesty, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. All right. So we've gone privately. And, okay, what if the person recognizes that they have sinned?
That's when you rejoice.
Rejoice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what does the scripture say actually happens? Why are we rejoicing? What does it say? It gives us a specific word for what happens.
You've won that person back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, that's the best. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you. Next to seeing somebody come to know Christ, I think that is one of the best coming things back in the whole wide world, to see somebody that gets it and is broken and repentant, not just not confessing, oh, I got caught, but repentant, I need Jesus to change this in me. Mm-hmm. That is amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason why we can't help but celebrate.
No.
It's the best. I love that. I wish that every single moment in our lives stopped right there. Right. It would be so wonderful if that's all it took, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. So now what are we going to do? So let's say we have gone privately. We've talked with a humble heart. We've prayed. And the person is just like, I didn't do that. You have no idea what you're talking about. What are we going to do?
Take a couple other, it says one or two other believers with you.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, let's look. It's so everything you say can be confirmed by two or three other witnesses.
Isn't that like the old law, too, that you need two witnesses?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. And I have it written down somewhere, and I can't remember where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually somewhere in these notes. I can put my glasses on and find it. I actually
There's
have that verse. There is a lot of notes. I don't know where it's at that I wrote that down. But it's in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And,
But I think that goes deeper, that it should be somebody that person knows as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be somebody that's completely, you know, has no idea regarding that person, or, you know, they have to have, there has to be a reason why the person that went to that one that's in sin to begin with selected that other person to go with them.
And the attitude of this is so important at this point, because it's really easy to be like, look, I was right. You are in sin.
Yep.
And this person is proving it. That's not the point at all. It's to have another person confirm what you're saying with the intent of helping them and helping them to grow from this.
Authority is a big factor that I have observed. Mm-hmm. That if the respect for the authority is not there, it's actually introducing another realm of sin opportunity to happen. It's really important that the authority... that there is a respect for that authority. And in some cases, the issue may be that the person honestly does not have within them the respect for any authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it gets difficult, because we have to question if the person's a believer at that point. And so a person's spiritual condition, I think, can greatly be greater revealed at this point. And it may be that we discover one who is a confessed brother or sister truly is not. I'm finding that happening more and more in my life as I process through discipline. And so that's where we want to make sure that we begin to examine the authority and the approach to authority. Because if we have respect for authority, we will understand the boundary lines provide for us a pleasant place.
Right.
If we do not have respect for authority, there are no boundary lines. We have no need to honor boundary lines, because I could care less what authority says.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just an examination of our heart, then a revelation of the other heart comes out is what happens. And so that process, that's where it gets really up your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, God, help. So what if at this point we've gone with the two or three witnesses and we see still a disrespect?
It says in the Bible, you take it to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're not really talking.
It's not a building.
Right. They're not talking the building. They're talking the body of Christ.
Right. And so it needs to be what represents the church of where that's at.
Right.
And, you know, and so the body of Christ in that. So in the case of grace, you know, we have our whatever a judiciary process that we have set up. In the case of parachurch organizations, they would have their business set up the way it would be. And within the church settings, for example, if somebody has children who are married in their 20s and they're out of the will of God, but they're in another state under a church headship, that's where they might go to that church for them to help with the process if they've gone through everything and nothing's happened. So you look for it to be a part of the body of Christ that is the relevant sending agency right. for that circumstance. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And and if the person refuses, then we get to the ultimate. We treat them as if they choose not to be a part of the kingdom of God. And
but still continue to pray and fast.
Yeah.
It's for their soul, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that we don't love them. Mm-hmm. And it is not, the commentators made it very clear, this is not to condemnation. This is in hopes that restoration will take place, leaving the door open that when you are ready to be obedient, come back. But until you are willing to recognize your sin and deal with it appropriately before the Lord and begin the process of restoration, it's time for you to remove yourself from this body.
And I think that is important. Leave the door open.
It is extremely important. Very hard, and sometimes some of us have to go through a great time of removal before we are willing to go back. And other times this might be exactly what is needed for fear of being not within the family of God. I know personally I have had circumstances in my life where I've had someone I loved very much, dear ministry friend, that made some choices and had to go through this whole process. And the person decided still to stay out of the will of God. And one of the things that I wept, I mean, it wept, it even makes me want to cry still to this day. I'm like, do you understand? By this choice, you're choosing to remove me from your fellowship. I mean, that is part of the choice. And I'm here for you. I'm ready to talk. We can do the process of restoration when you're ready. And the person clearly looked me in the face and said, this is what I'm choosing. And I was just devastated because I had never, that is the only time I've ever had somebody actually
choose not to.
I've never had anybody get to this point and not. And it broke me. I mean, I still grieve to this day, and it was years ago that this occurred. It's just a very sad, sad process when it happens to that point. The prayer is that it happened the first moment we go. And I think the majority do. Yeah. I have a quote, we'll end with this, from Barnes commentary. It says, 9 out of 10 times with a little, what a little conversation will do to change a matter. We just need to take the time to be willing to go and have that little conversation. Right. God bless. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts.